Good morning. It's been a while, but it didn't snow, so I was able to get to my computer and make this talk today. Thanks everyone for being patient. This chapter 15 is called Meditation and Healing. And really, this first paragraph sums it all up quite nicely. It says, "Meditation is the secret of this entire work. If you succeed in catching the vision of the infinite way, you will find that meditation will be responsible for 90% of that success. You will find that meditation is not only that which opens up consciousness, but meditation, ultimately, is the mode and the means of bringing the Christ into manifestation. Many people are afraid of meditation because it has always been closely associated with the Orient. In the Occident, in our Western world, there is no such practice as meditation except among the Quakers." Now, this was written in 1962, and meditation was not well known. The Beatles had not visited Maharishi Yogi yet to learn how to meditate, and so it wasn't really a part of the Western world yet. They have, of course, practiced meditation from the beginning of the Quakers. But aside from them and the various Oriental groups, meditation is practically unknown in the Western world. Yet, meditation is your point of contact with God. The kingdom of God is within you, and it is within you yourself that you must find God. Now that's an important sentence. It is within you yourself that you must find God. For although you can be led back to the kingdom within by means of teachers and teachings, or even books, these serve a purpose only as they lead you back to the depths of your own being. And it is there you must find God, through meditation. Organizations perform a valuable function in the world, but that function should be to provide a teacher or a book which would be of help in helping students find the kingdom of God within their own being. In addition to teachers and books, organizations can also provide a place where students can go for meditation and communion while they are in the transitional stage, while they are still seeking God, while they are seeking the kingdom. Joel says, "As I see it, there is no reason why some religious organizations should not exist forever. I do not see any reason in our age why they should be discontinued. But I do say that their purpose in the early stage of our search for God is to provide us with books, teachers, teachings, services, or whatever it is that we need that will help us find the kingdom of God. The function of a church or an organization is to lead us to the kingdom of God. Then, when it has revealed God to us, it will have served its purpose, and we should be free to go our own way, inside or outside of the church, as we choose." The work of the infinite way is to reveal the kingdom of God within your own being. I have never met anyone yet who has achieved the fullness of the realization of God within, but in a measure and by degrees, we are making greater progress year after year. For that reason, then, it is right for me to tell you and to share with you all of these things about truth, as I have been doing. But if I do not help you to attain the ability to meditate, you will not arrive at the final step of meeting God face to face. And that is what you must do. You have to find God. You have to meet God face to face. Now, the purpose of meditation, he says, therefore we do not practice meditation just for the sake of sitting in the silence, or just for the sake of attaining a steady, one-pointed attention on that which we call God. Our meditation is for the purpose of finding an inner stillness so that the presence and the power of God can be made manifest in or as our individual consciousness. And then that enables us to live our lives as Paul lived his. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Through meditation, you will find the presence and power of the Christ, and it will live your experience. Remember this, it is not wise to spend too long a period in meditation. It is not wise to sit for as long as an hour or 2 hours. It is apt to dull your perception rather than sharpen it. It may take us an hour before we achieve a stillness or quietness, but when we do and we feel that silence, then let us get up and bring the meditation to a close. Usually we should be able to find ourselves in this stillness and this quietness in 2, 3, or 4 minutes. Sometimes it may take 10 or 15 minutes if the pressure from outside is very strong. But by the end of 10 or 15 minutes, we should have achieved a sense of inner peace. Then, after having taken another minute or two to let this presence manifest or announce itself, we should go on about our daily business. In other words, meditation is not an end in itself. It is a means to an end. It is merely a vehicle through which we attain an awareness of the presence of God. There are some people who use meditation as an end in itself. All they want to do is sit for an hour or two or three in the silence. Do not do that. Use meditation as a means to an end, as the means of being quiet for a moment, to feel the presence of God. And that is all. If you have a problem, whether it is your own or whether it is your patient's, do not take the problem with you into meditation. When you give a treatment, the purpose of your treatment is to remind yourself of the truth of being, and thereby lift yourself to a state of receptivity, to a degree of consciousness in which you can be still, and let that mind which was in Christ Jesus also be in you. When you get the signal that you have touched that mind, or that mind has touched you, when you hear that answering response that says to you, all is well, it is done, or I am here, when you feel that weight has dropped off your shoulders, or when you feel a sense of lightness within. This is the evidence that He is with you. This is the He that performeth that which is given you to do. That gentle presence, that Christ within, that Spirit of God. Once you have felt that click, it is as if you had released it. And then, like a radio beam, it goes out and covers the whole world. Yes, it covers the whole world, so that whatever has been achieved for you is achieved by that Spirit which has been contacted or realized. It is as if you had pressed a telegraph key here, and then the next instant the message was received at the other end, in New York, or London, or Paris. The moment you touch this inner key, this inner being, it goes all over the world to perfect and perform that which is necessary to the fulfillment of your demonstration. If it is necessary to make a contact with somebody in Asia in order to bring him to you, it will. If it is necessary to make a contact with somebody next door, if a teacher or a book is needed, or if it is to protect you from danger or to open up the roadway for you when you are driving, it will do all of those things. Building a spiritual foundation for healing work. This teaching has one prime purpose: to bring you to a place of actual contact with the presence and power of God. The letter of truth gives you a solid foundation on which to build the spirit or consciousness of truth. In fact, once you have built this consciousness of truth, once you have touched the Christ, you can forget all about the letter of truth. When you actually get the feeling of that presence, then it will make no difference whether you ever use a treatment or whether you ever learn what a treatment is. The great spiritual seers throughout all time have had the Spirit, but very few of them knew what the letter of truth was. In our day, the letter of truth serves for those of us who were not born with the Spirit fully developed. It serves as a foundation. But after we have built our foundation, after we have erected the superstructure of the Spirit, of that temple that is not made with hands, that spiritual understanding then, if we like, we can discard the treatment or the letter of truth. In most of my healing work, very little of the letter is used. But as yet, I have not been able entirely to eliminate treatment. I have never been able to let a single day go by without a treatment in some form about some subject. It plays less and less of a part in my healing work, but a greater and greater part in the teaching work. There are too many truth students who have not been well grounded in the letter. They do not know what the principle is that they are trying to demonstrate. They do not know what the basis of our spiritual existence is. The time has come when all students must know more about this principle. If you do not know the basis which forms the foundation of your treatment, then your treatment is of little value. If you do not know the premise that God is the reality of your being, that all that is true of God is true of you, and that only that which is true of God is true of you, Well, then you have no spiritual foundation. And yet how few practitioners know that principle. For that reason, I pray, and I pray diligently, earnestly, and sincerely, that everyone learn the letter of truth, learn the principle on which this work is based. After you have learned the letter of truth, meditate until you have actually caught an inner awareness, a feeling of the presence. When you have that awareness, you have the healing agency. I can, of mine own self, do nothing. But when you have caught the awareness of that presence, you have that with which you can go out and heal any manner of disease. The awareness of the Christ can overcome any phase of lack or limitation. It can make any type of relationship harmonious. Family, community, national, international. It can do all of those things for you, since it is the very mind or principle that healed and fed the multitudes of old. This was done not only by the Master, but the same things were done by Moses, Elijah, Elisha, and many other prophets and seers. So gain the conscious awareness of the presence of God. Gain the conscious feeling of this inner voice, of this inner self, of this inner peace, and then behold what happens. It rushes right out to the very person of whom you are thinking. It rushes right into the part of their bodies that is affected, and it heals it, changes it, or corrects it. It goes to the uttermost ends of the earth. It searches the bones, the marrow, the spirit, the whole structure from top to bottom. What does? The Christ, when you have caught it, when you have felt it, when you have touched it, and when it has touched you within, then you can say, ah, it performeth the things that are given me to do. It perfecteth that which concerneth me. It goes before me to make the crooked places straight. It walks beside me. It comes up behind as a rear guard. This it we are talking about is the Christ, the He who performeth all things. We are not talking about a He in a book or a He to whom you pray. There is no such He. The only He or it there is something that you contact within your own being. That is the only place you can contact it. The kingdom of God is within you. I can of mine own self do nothing. The Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. There is a principle that heals, that saves, that actually is a way of spiritual living. There is a principle that will live your life perfectly for you, that will lead you into green pastures. And, of course, beside the still waters. Let those who are emerging from the traditional concept of God use right thinking and use statements of truth in whatever way they want to use them. But you, who have come to this point, should begin now to touch or be touched by that Christ, by that inner power and presence. Let this mind be in you. The only way you can be touched by the Christ and let this mind be in you is to open your consciousness and let it come in. When it says let, it really means let. Let it come in. Open consciousness. Learn in your meditations to keep your ear open so as to let it come in. Wait until you feel it within, and then suddenly it will be right there, perhaps over your heart. Then you will be able to say, He perfecteth that which concerneth me. He performeth that which is given me to do. You will know that He, because the He you are talking about is a He that you have actually contacted within, a He that you have actually realized and felt. So do you begin to see the importance of meditation in this work? In meditation, you take yourself out of the picture long enough to let that He, that mind that was in Christ Jesus, come in. Just be still. Just be silent long enough, and someday you will find that God reveals itself, not only in silence, but as silence. God is the great silence. It is a feeling, an awareness, a state of being, a wonderful, joyous state of being. This is a pretty wonderful paragraph. God reveals itself as silence. God is the great silence. Now this is important. Neither good nor evil thoughts are power. The Christ is not a mental activity. Now, that's important. God is the great silence, but God is not a mental activity. It cannot be induced by any kind of mental legerdemain. It is useless to try to bring it into expression with thoughts. Thoughts will not do it. Thought is not power. Good thoughts are not power. Evil thoughts, malpracticing thoughts, erroneous thoughts are not power. And the best way you can prove that is with his exercise he gave you years ago to build in your mind the best bomb you have ever heard of. Make a nuclear bomb. All right, and then take that bomb and throw it against the wall over here, and you'll see it does absolutely nothing because thoughts are not power. All right, thoughts will not hurt anyone except the individual who gives them power. Do not treat yourself for anything. The only treatment that is legitimate is a treatment which leads your thought to the realization of God as omnipresent and results in your feeling that presence. So we use effort to become effortless. We use thought to become still and silent. We use good thoughts to slow down, step to the side of ourselves, and let it, Christ, come in. But it doesn't come in from out here. It comes in from even deeper within. Your treatment is never against rheumatism, never against resentment, dishonesty, or injustice. If you treat too strenuously against these qualities, you are likely to engender them. the more a person treats against envy or dishonesty and other undesirable characteristics, the more of these he has to meet. When you treat for the presence of God, for a realization of the presence of God as your individual being. And when you have treated, be patient for a while, and let this feeling come. The evil thoughts of the world are not power. Evil is not a power. Sin, in any form, is not a power. It is not a presence. And your recognition of that is the healing agency. When we say that disease is an illusion, it does not mean that the illusion is out there in time and space, and that you as a practitioner or metaphysician are being called upon to destroy it. There is no illusion out there. The illusion is in the mind of the believer, and that is the only place where it needs to be destroyed. You never remove growths from anybody. There are none to remove. That is a belief, and your recognition of the truth that it exists only as a belief or as an illusion is the healing agency. Do not go outside your own being to heal somebody. There's nothing wrong with the patient. You are entertaining a false belief about him. So correct that in your own thought. This evil, then, this wrong thought, is not a power. It exists only as false sense, and your recognition of it as a false sense is the healing agency. Not knowing a lot of truths about it, or knowing that it is a lie, or that it does not exist in mind, or that it is not true. There is only one thing that it is necessary to know in healing work, and that is the non-existence as an entity or a power of any form of error. In the same way, a good thought is not power. If a good thought were power, I do not suppose any of us as children would lose our parents. And I am sure parents would never lose a child, because all they would have to do would be to think enough good thoughts and end all this nonsense of sin, disease, death, and imprisonment. Thinking good thoughts, however, will not do it. Good thoughts and truth are entirely different. Truth is not a thought. It is not a statement. Truth is a state of consciousness. Okay, so know the truth and the truth will set you free. Truth is a state of consciousness. Take that in your meditation and see what pops up. It is a state of awareness, a state of consciousness, an understanding of the non-power of that which appears as good thoughts and bad thoughts. It is touching of the Christ. That is truth. Truth and Christ are synonymous. Therefore, truth is not anything you can read in a book. Truth is not anything you can hear with your ears. Truth is the Christ, and the Christ is this inner awareness, this inner consciousness. Therefore, when you have that Christ consciousness, you do not have merely good thoughts. You have the power of the mind that was in Christ Jesus without any thoughts. If it sends a thought to you, well and good. But remember, it would be it, the Christ, that accomplished any good and not the thought. It is just as essential to realize that good thoughts are not power, as it is to realize that bad thoughts are not power. Then you will never rely on thought or be afraid of thought. So when you sit down to meditate, if thoughts come to you, maybe you hear the thought, "Thy grace is my sufficiency." And so you sit there and you repeat that to yourself over and over. But that is not power. That's not Christ, and that's not truth. Truth is the actual Christ. He said that. Truth and Christ are synonymous. And so, in your meditation, you must find a way to be effortless, to take no thought like we were instructed. Take no thought. Don't latch on to any of the thoughts. Just remain still, ever listening for your master's voice. Your master's not out here. Your master's not a person. Your master's not a book. Your master's not tape number 143. Your master is within you. It is the Christ of your being. And this you will know when you find that silence within. And remember, silence is not just quiet. Silence is an absence of self, the little self. Now, let us see how this works out in practice. Suppose you were knocked unconscious and could not think, and consequently could not reach your practitioner. Are you without hope in such a case? No. If you are living and moving and having your being in God, consciousness, you will find that even if you were knocked unconscious, it would not make any difference. That God power, with or without a thought, is your protection. Never forget this. If you make yourself dependent on a thought, you are making yourself dependent on an effect. Could there be a thought if there were no mind? Are you depending upon mind or thought? It is mind that is, capital M mind, that is omnipresence, not thought. So learn to rely on the truth. I already am. Nothing can hinder it. That is not a thought, that is truth. If we live with truth long enough, it becomes an established state of consciousness. Now, what does that mean? In the beginning, I had to maybe repeat to myself 100 times a day, "Thy grace is my sufficiency." I had to repeat that in order to overcome the fear and the worry and the anxiousness. But then I saw, "Thy grace really is my sufficiency in all things." And I began to trust it. I began to rest in it. I was developing the consciousness of grace. A grace consciousness. And he's right, it is joyous. Consciousness and mind are not synonymous. Consciousness and awareness are synonymous, but consciousness goes a step higher than ordinary sense of the word awareness. Since consciousness becomes a conscious awareness without a process or effort or mental procedure, it is like saying that we are conscious of our own integrity, but without our having any awareness of having developed it or brought it about. We are conscious of integrity. We are aware of integrity, but we never consciously think of it, except when it is absent. So consciousness is not only a synonym for awareness, but much more. It is an established sense of awareness without a process. Yes, there's no process involved, otherwise you'd be manipulating God. In my writings, I make a distinction between the word consciousness and the word mind. Correctly understood, mind is not a synonym for God, because mind implies a mental process or mental activity of consciousness. Of awareness, which of course God is not. God just is. So God is not a mental activity. And so if you have a mental activity going on, it is I. Be not afraid. And in your meditation, you repeat that to yourself. That mental activity is not God. It's not truth, it's not Christ, it's just a little bit of noise. It's the letter of truth. And if you only have the letter of truth kills. All right. If you make yourself dependent on a thought, you are making yourself dependent upon an effect. Could there be a thought if there were no mind? Learn to rely on the truth, I already am. Consciousness and mind are not synonymous. God just is. Rightly speaking, mind, then, would be a human agency, and it could not be synonymous with God. Yes, but there is a capital M mind, which is omniscience, and that mind is God. On the other hand, God is consciousness, and because consciousness is awareness without a process, it is a much more comprehensive term than mind. Mind can be thought of as a facet of consciousness. A facet of consciousness. An instrument or activity of God consciousness. But mind can never be thought of as God. Many people believe that thoughts are things, and that thinking can change the human picture. In this teaching, The Infinite Way, when we say thoughts are not things, we mean that thought is not a creative principle. Regardless of how much thinking you do, you cannot create anything with your thought. And that's what we discovered by building an atomic bomb and throwing it against the wall. In our mind, in our thought. Regardless of how much thinking you do, you cannot create anything with your thought. All you can do with your thought is to become aware of that which is. With your thought, or through your thought, you become aware that 2 times 2 are 4. Or you become aware of the blue sky, or the ocean, or the high mountains, or the deep valley. But your thinking will not create these things. You can become aware, at least in a measure, of the very presence and power of God. But are you creating the presence and power of God? Can you create the presence and power of God? No. God is the infinite, all-knowing intelligence that knows your need long before you do, and it is its good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Therefore, you are to take no thought for those things which you need, but let this all-knowing mind, capital M, life, truth, love, soul, let it know what your need is without your telling it. And let it have the pleasure of providing it for you. Then you live life as a beholder of the activity of God, the divine consciousness of your being at work. Yes, this is a short chapter, but that's okay. We'll make do. God is not a thought. God is divine reality, divine being. While I am thinking about truth, or thinking about religion, or thinking about God, the divine idea manifests itself, and through thought, I become aware of it. Did I create God? Did I create truth? Did you ever create love or life? No, those are divine ideas. They are divine realities that have existed since before time began, and we become aware of them. Always remember that there is not a manifested thing in the world. There is not a manifested truth in the world. There is not a divine idea in the world that you can create. But you can become aware of every truth and every idea, and this is accomplished through your meditation. So, again, we are reminded, thought is not power, but that which is received, awareness, is power. It's the actual Christ itself. I don't mean becoming aware of a thought. That's just another thought. We have maybe thousands in any day, and they are without power. We want to go further. We want to dive deeper. What is there when your thought-taking slows down and becomes quiet? What is there when you cease any thought-taking? Now that's hard, that's difficult for many people, but that's because they forgot Joel's instruction to contemplate truth, and that will result in your thought slowing down. That will result in your thought changing into awareness. Because when thought ceases, awareness begins. Hey, I like that. When thought ceases, awareness begins. And it's awareness that does all the healing, all the providing, all the loving. Awareness and Christ are one. So when you say, I and the Father are one, that's what you mean. I and awareness are one. All right. Let us have a short little meditation. I can of mine own self do nothing. I, myself, am infinite divine consciousness. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. But you must let it come in. You must let it speak. You must let it manifest. You see that? You have all of it right now, at the center of your being. Every good and perfect gift comes from the center of your being. We say it comes from above, but what we mean is it comes from consciousness and not from thought. And whether you say it comes from above thought or whether you say it comes deep down behind thought, it doesn't matter what words you use. What is important is that you develop this ability to treat yourself in order to come to a place of no effort, come to a place of beholding, being a beholder, beholding God at work. This living life as a beholder is really one of the greatest secrets Joel ever revealed to us. I live, yet not I. I live as a beholder of Christ. Do you believe that Christ can live your life? Yes, I believe it. Now take a further step within your own being. Travel down into the center of your being and be still. And there, behold, Christ liveth in me. That's an actual living experience, an actual living awareness. An actual living presence. Okay, looks like we're going to be at 50 minutes today. Thank you everyone who are attentive and beholding and drawing forth this message. I thank you so much. Okay, please be still and know I am Christ living you. What a wonderful thing this is. If you've ever had the experience of walking in the conscious awareness of the presence, you know how wonderful it is. You're in the right place at the right time. You travel for an hour and a half to get to a store, and when you get there, there's a parking place right out front. You seem to make every green light on the way. This is synchronicity, and it comes to those who are walking in the Spirit. Spirit and Christ and consciousness are one, and the I within you am that one. So now be a beholder. I will live you. I will perfect that which has to do with you. I will perform that which is appointed for you to do. Okay, thank you. God bless. I love you, and until we meet again, Godspeed.